America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
The buzzer beater.
Yeah, you just made it.
All right.
Just real quick.
Yeah.
Just a 20-second aside.
Take as much time as you want. I got nowhere to be.
How bad is Cleveland, the Browns? I know Deshaun Watson is a Mets.
Yeah.
I'm starting to look at the card. And
Deshaun's on the Mets? What'd you say?
A mess. Oh, okay. I know the Browns are a mess.
Yes, they are.
But are they that bad, or is it just Deshaun Watson who's that bad?
Well, it has to be.
I haven't seen a lot of Browns this year.
I have. I'll tell you this. His receivers, in many cases, are not doing him any favors. You got people doing weird stuff. He got picked off earlier this year on a ball that bounced directly off of both of them, Amari Cooper's hands and his chest.
Ooh.
And I'm no fan of Deshaun, but this thing that got kind of hung around his neck this week where he gave up. Right, the coach wants him to go for it on fourth down, and Deshaun just walked off the field in defiance. There were 12 people in the huddle. Deshaun knew that if he went over to the line of scrimmage with the group that was out there, it was going to be a penalty. So he walked toward the sideline because he knew.
Gotcha.
You either got to take a timeout or
someone's got to go.
We're going to get a penalty one way or another. So, like, is Deshaun a good teammate? Is he a good player? Is he a good dude? I ain't going to say yes to any of that. But sometimes when all that happens, you start accusing people of doing stuff that they're not doing. And he was not giving up or defying his coach on
that
play. Your larger question, yeah. They're wildly short on talent on offense. Nick Chubb is hurt. Amari Cooper's starting to slide downhill. I don't even know who any of their other receivers are. David Njoku's been hurt.
Yeah.
Their defense is good, but they get put in a precarious position. And there's your Browns breakdown for the day.
I appreciate that.
What made you bring them up?
Just looking at the Week 6 card.
Okay.
As I'm starting to, think about Niners in Seattle.
Who are they playing?
The Browns are playing Philly off a bye.
Oh, they'll win that game.
Philly will. Yeah.
No, Cleveland.
Oh, Cleveland will.
Sure.
Because you're down on Philly.
Every week.
You're going to fade Philly, fade the Diver, and fade the Eagles.
Philadelphia and Dallas are awful. They will never win again.
Okay.
Except when they play each other.
And there might be a tie.
Yeah.
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 Okay.
I'm just going to speak that into existence.
I love that.
Yeah. Washington wins the East this year.
It sure looks good, and it's something that you said a couple of weeks ago as you were starting to really get on the Washington bandwagon.
Exactly right. But anyway, Cleveland, they're bad.
Okay.
They're bad. And Myles Garrett looks like he's starting to get really frustrated.
Yeah.
But I tell you what, listening to the actual words coming out of Greg Cosell's mouth without the funny stuff that we all experienced, I do start to feel, and Ron Rivera too, And I wonder if it is everybody else having the same experience that maybe I am in this particular show. I have found it to be a calming influence with regard to 49er football. Not that I was already, I wasn't screaming out in the middle of the streets. But I really believe that while the Niners, here are the words that we can use for this year. They have been disappointing. They have been underachieving. The two of these losses in particular are, whatever you want to call them, inexcusable, sloppy, all of that stuff. But I think that they've led us down a road of wanting to build a narrative, which is that the Niners are clearly not as good as they've been in the past. I don't know that yet. I don't know that yet. Ron Rivera said some very interesting things about how things take shape in the NFL. And I am going to choose to really lean into what has been a true characteristic of Kyle Shanahan. So many of you want to have characteristics. He's arrogant and he's a control freak. Well, I got a different one. He figures it the bleep out. He does it every year.
Well, look at his record after Halloween.
Every year. So why are we so freaking out? Why? What? Like, what makes us think that this is the year he's not going to figure it out?
Yeah, that becomes the narrative part when you look at results versus process. And I'm a results guy, and I can also look at the process, and I can also look at the metrics and the stats and the things that would indicate that this will get turned around. And if you tell me that they go into the bye at 4-4, I'd believe that. They could be 5-3. They could be 3-5. They could be 2-6. Now let's take the tie off the table. Right now they're 2-3. If I gave you the most likely record for the Niners heading into the bye, ranking them in order,
okay,
they could be 5-3, 4-4, 3-5, or 2-6. Those are your options because they're 2-3 and they have three games until the bye.
Yeah.
I think the most likely record would be 4-4.
4-4. I agree.
You beat Seattle. You lose to Kansas City. You beat Dallas. That, for me, would be the most likely way this goes.
I agree with that.
The least likely for me would be 2-6, where you lose all three of these games.
Agreed.
I think the second least likely would be that you go 3-5 and that you lose two of the three. And then
the next one
would be that you go 3-5.
That you go 3-0.
You wind up 5-3. That, to me, would be the second least likely.
Do you get a look-ahead line on the Niners and Chiefs?
Let me see if I can find it. The place I've been finding the look-ahead lines, it hasn't changed. It has them at the start of the year, which was Niners favored by 1.
Okay.
Let me see if I can find a Week 7. Yeah, here it is. Week 7.
Well, I think I got it, too.
Look-ahead lines. Chiefs are getting 1 still.
Niners are favored.
Yes, as of today.
The Niners are favored over the Chiefs.
Yeah.
Got to be. Good Lord. I know that people go, that's just Vegas. And Vegas is reflective of the public on some level, right?
Yeah.
Like they're trying to find even Steven. And the Niners are home, so if you get the requisite 3, they are stating that the Chiefs would be favored on a neutral site.
Yeah.
It's got to be on some level that has to be worth something. Because I also hear people do this every Sunday night when they've lost their money. Boy, Vegas knows something. Well, I agree. Vegas is uncanny with what they can come up with. Does that mean anything to anyone that we sit here today, 5 weeks into this thing, the Chiefs beat the Niners in the Super Bowl, the Chiefs are 5-0, and the Niners have made their fans yank hair out of the sides of their heads, and they're 2-3. And Vegas is like, Niners are favored. Does that mean anything to anyone?
It should. And I look at, you know, many different things when I'm trying to analyze these games in advance. And I look at EPA, which everybody loves, is one of the biggest indicators, expected points added. And the Niners are 8th in the league and Kansas City is 9th offensively in EPA per play. And they're almost identical. And defensively, I think that the two are quite similar as well. Kansas City's probably a few clicks ahead of the Niners defensively. Yeah, Kansas City's 12th, and the Niners are 13th. So just on those metrics, which are advanced analytics, basing every play on situation, down and distance, location of the field, defense, and all the rest of it. These two teams are almost identical. And then you add in what you're talking about. The Niners are at home, which is a traditional three-point boost. And then you can add in the other piece, which is Kansas City is going to be coming off a rest advantage, coming off a bye, and you throw all that into the hopper, the game feels like somewhat of a toss-up.
Can I throw another fun fact into this conversation?
Of course.
You guys ready for this? Ready for this now?
I've been ready.
Do a little mental drum roll. I don't think we have a drum roll in the system. Thank you. You ready for this?
I just drum rolled.
I know. I'm looking at Grandy and Lucas, too.
Lucas is asleep.
Well, yeah, always.
Oh.
The Niners are favored in every game for the rest of the year.
Yeah, we knew that going in.
No, they still are. There is one team in the NFL.
One team.
That both was and currently is favored in every game they play this year. And that at this hour, at 2-3, remains the San Francisco 49ers. They are not just favored against Kansas City. They are favored by darn close to a touchdown against the Dallas Cowboys. They are favored at Lambeau Field. They are favored at Buffalo. They are favored by more than a field goal against the Detroit Lions. They are favored by a touchdown against the Los Angeles Rams. They are favored. Are you ready for this? You want to know the biggest remaining number on the board? This actually is very interesting with regard to something that's about to happen. The biggest remaining number of any Niner game the rest of the way will come in early November when the Niners host the Seattle Seahawks.
Yeah.
They are a 9-point favorite on the look ahead for when Seattle comes here, the team they're playing tomorrow night.
Yeah, I've seen that same website, and I just wonder if these lines ever change. Because I look at week 16, and they're favored by one at Miami. And that doesn't feel right to me.
Well, that's I think that's suggesting that they're expecting Tua to be back.
Well, even if Tua's back, well, you tell me they're only 1 point better than Miami on the road?
On the road.
Yeah,
on the
I
road
guess.
With your field goal, your home field goal. That's suggesting that you're a 4-point neutral favorite and a touchdown favorite if the game were here.
Yeah, it just feels like that number will be a lot different if we get to it, even if Tua is back.
Want to play a game?
Sure.
One other team is, they weren't favored in all of their games, but one other team is favored in all of their remaining games in the NFL. Who is it?
In all of their remaining games.
All of their remaining games. They are favored in all of them. One other team.
That's a tough one. I would say Kansas City, but we know they're not because they're 1-point dogs against San Francisco.
And that is their only underdog game for their entire schedule. That is correct.
Yeah, I would think about Detroit, but again, we know that they are underdogs against San Francisco.
Fun fact about them that I'll hold until after you get this answer right, which I know you will.
It's a struggle, but
you'll get it.
I thought Buffalo, but again, Buffalo is an underdog against San Francisco.
Yep.
It would have to be Baltimore would be the team then.
That is correct.
Okay.
The Baltimore Ravens are favored in every game the remainder of their schedule. The Detroit Lions are not only underdogs to the 49ers. The Detroit Lions are underdogs to the Minnesota Vikings, Green Bay Packers, and the Houston Texans on their schedule.
Wow.
The Buffalo Bills are underdogs against not just the Niners, but also the Chiefs and the Detroit Lions. I find this stuff interesting because especially when you're doing like lengthy look-aheads, what's bringing these numbers to be are the analytics. They are the analytics. And so I don't know if anybody cares about that or not, but Vegas is running permutations based on, yes, they are. They're permutation sensations.
Thank you.
And Vegas is running these based on
cha-ching!
The metrics that come well beyond the record of the team. It's akin to to the Pro Football Focus thing you read yesterday. So,
and also the sharp football that I'd studied before about rest differential and travel spots and 3 games and 10 nights and all the rest of it.
On some planet, It appears that there are odds makers who still believe the 49ers are the best team in football.
Yeah.
How about that?
Well, it makes sense. And again, if you want to look at the metrics, and we talked about EPA already, expected points added, they are a top team, top 10 in offense and top 13 in defense, and that would trend toward being better. They're always very good. Last 3 years, I think 23-5 after Halloween in the regular season. So a Shanahan team that is always good after Halloween. Metrically, they're a good team, a team that should be, according to some, 4-1. And you're telling me that you're going to get two top 100 players back down the stretch, Christian McCaffrey and Dre Greenlaw. If all those things together are true, if this team is better than their record says, if you're getting two Pro Bowl players back and your coach always has you good after Halloween, then yeah, they should be favored in these games.
Want to do the opposite? We got two teams that are dogs in every game.
Dogs?
We need more dog. We need more dogs. We got two teams.
The all kennel teams?
Dogs in every game for the rest of the year.
I thought maybe who let the dogs out would be more appropriate, but I do like games from music.
Yeah, exactly. By the way, not only are they dogs for the remainder of their games, but they have been dogs in all of their games to this point as well. Dogs in every game all year long.
I would say Carolina has to be one of them.
Ding.
They stink. And the other one's tougher because, I mean, I mentioned it before, Cleveland's really bad, but they might have a spot where they're at least favored in one. I'm going to say Cleveland. The heck with it.
The Cleveland Browns are not even close to it.
Oh.
They are favored in, well, first of all, they're favored, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 times. And the remainder of their schedule.
Fade.
No, the answer is someone who is already on the Niners schedule. Come on.
Oh, probably Arizona.
No.
The Rams?
No.
The Jets?
No.
The Patriots?
Dog, hello.
Dude, a dog, yeah, I get it. That works.
New England Patriots.
The New get England there eventually.
Patriots. Yeah. Yeah, there
Raiders
are some
preseason?
Really weird quirks of all of this. Check this out. One last one, and then we'll move on. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. You want to know who's an underdog in 7 of their next 8 games? You'll never, ever get it.
Then I'm not even going to try.
7 of their next 8 games, the New Orleans Saints.
Wow. And that was pre-Derek Carr news on the look-ahead lines.
What's the news?
Well, MRI shows that.
But they haven't announced him as out yet, have they?
I don't think officially, but.
Spencer Rattler starting this weekend.
That's already official?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Official?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Lucas right. with the appreciate mm-hmm. that, director yeah. of sports.
He's on it.
He bought himself
a week with the Chiefs.
The
and
injury,
Sean Ryan.
And Derek Carr, he doesn't miss time, and he had to leave the field, and then the MRI showed oblique injury. This one feels to me like it's going to be longer than just a game.
He was heard as he was walking to the sideline going, it's bleak. That was funnier than you're giving it credit for. Anyway.
Had you done it just once, it would have been a 4.
No, it's broke. Don't you remember?
I do remember.
Don't you get it?
I went to Reno for that playoff game with Lorenzo Neal and Guru. We did a live show from the Atlantis Casino and Resort.
The one against Houston?
The Connor Cook game.
Yeah.
We may or may not have made a side trip to Antelope to go visit Guru's friend Shaney Shane.
What's
John
Antelope?
Shaney Shane.
I don't even know what's Antelope.
Antelope is a community somewhere outside of Sacramento.
Outside of Sac. I thought you were in Vegas.
Quick story. We're going to Please. Reno for the game, and it's going to be a snowstorm, but it's a paid thing. So I go to the previous program director, O Canada, and I say, I'm going to need a rental vehicle. I'm not driving my Honda in the snow. So we get a 4-wheel drive vehicle. It's Milo and Guru, and I'm driving because obvious reasons. Yeah. So we're halfway there, loads of sleep in the back, and Guru's like, you know what? We got some time. Let's swing by and see my friend Shaney Shane in Antelope. I'm game. Off the freeway to Antelope, quick visit, back in the car, low slept through the whole thing. Your boy's driving in a blinding snowstorm with the two biggest assets of the station, and this thing is just, we are fishtailing on Highway 80.
It just made my heart fall into my stomach when you said the two biggest assets.
Two biggest assets in the station.
Two biggest assets at the
station. Not asshats. Yeah. Assets. Oh, time for the snow tires.
Time to do the legal.
Yeah, your boy barely made it there.
Oh, no.
Anyway, that was a trip one for the ages. But that was the it's broke. Connor Cook, your quarterback. And,
Oof.
Fade the Raiders.
Yeah.
I don't think they've been to the playoffs since.
Ooh, I think you're right.
Yep.
Yeah.
Anyway. They went to the playoffs a few years ago when it was Bengals, Raiders, in the Super Bowl.
Randy's right.
The Raiders almost beat the Bengals in Cincinnati.
Yeah, they had them.
My bad.
The week before,
apologies to Raider Nation.
The week before Cincinnati went and beat the Chiefs. At least somebody can beat the Chiefs in the playoffs.
Yeah, good point.
No, they beat the Raiders, then they beat the Titans in Tennessee, and then they beat the Chiefs.
And got arguably outplayed in all three games.
Yes.
Yeah.
And nearly won the Super Bowl.
All accurate. And Penny, my dog, picked the Bengals to beat the Rams. And she was wrong.
Yeah. Penny.
Yeah, she's 0 for 1.
Get in the crate.
I've never tried it again.
That's enough for me, dog.
Yeah. Thank you. I put treats in two different towels. One was blue and one was orange. And I'm like, all right, you're going to decide the Super Bowl. And she ate the treat out of the orange towel. I'm like, the Bengals are going to win. And then they didn't win. Like, last time I talked to you. Fade the Penny.
I mean, I think that this whole thing has gone a little too far beyond the pale.
What thing?
I'm going to let my baby pick. I'm going to let my dog pick. I'm going to let my goldfish pick. Just leave the pets and kids alone.
Oh, okay.
It's a played out bit.
I'm going to let my dibbers pick. Like you've got
automatic.
Like you've got any idea more than they do.
But I'm automatic.
Why are you anti-fun?
It's not anti-fun.
Yes,
it's just,
you are. It's fun.
Played out. All
dogs,
of you are biting on the original.
No,
it's cliche.
Dogs and kids are cute.
There was a whale or a dolphin somewhere in Australia that was
probably
like 12 in a row or something, or a yak?
Ladies and gentlemen, breaking news.
Uh-oh.
Breaking news. The New York Metropolitans have eliminated the Philadelphia Phillies from contention in this year's Major League Baseball playoffs.
Also breaking at this hour, our technical director Ken is somewhere in tears.
Oh, not in tears, he's somewhere swimming in beer.
Tears and beers. There's no doubt he's crying right now.
That was a band in the 80s, wasn't it? Tears for Beers?
That was, it's a three, only because I get the reference.
But Grandy doesn't.
No.
Tears for Fears.
Grandy's an old soul. Don't sleep on Grandy.
Lucas didn't get it. Anyway.
Lucas isn't listening.
888-957-9570 is the number. Please let the Dodgers be next. Please, God.
Phillies Dodgers?
I am not it. No. Padres. Tonight. End that sucker. End that sucker. Tonight.
Privately, I need more Padres-Dodgers. Give me 5 games, and I need a bench-clearing brawl. I need a little bit more heat from that series. That series, put aside your Dodger hatred for a minute.
Can't.
Those 3 games have been awesome. Awesome theater. There have been big moments from big players. There have been people getting dotted. There's been a runner out of the baseline. Is he out of the baseline? We don't know if he's out of the baseline, and he got hit by a throw, and the grand slam to cut it to one, and this series has been awesome. You can't deny it.
No, I can't deny it. You want to know what one of the like under the covers crazy moments of the year? So you know how Mookie Betts the other night hit what he thought was a home run.
So good.
And Jurickson Profar brought it back in and did the hoppity hoppity hop and look at the fans, and everyone thought it was a home run, and Mookie started rounding the bases, and then
he got halfway to third.
Yeah, he got halfway to third, and then Profar turned around and went, oh, look what I found in
pretty
my
awesome
glovey glove.
One of the best ever.
It's a ball. Did you see what happened last night? Same two players. Betts swinging a drive. Deep to left. Profar leaps, reaches. And you can't tell if he caught it. And he comes down, and Betts is headed for second. Turns and goes to the dugout. Gets halfway to the dugout before he realizes Profar didn't catch it.
Gone.
They had to turn around and go back out to the infield, round second base, and then starts doing his little celebration. I was like, oh my God, he's so in your head.
Totally.
He's in your head. You now think balls are getting caught when they're not. Oh, so good. I love what the Padres are doing, and I'm jealous out of my mind.
Yep.
Out of my mind with jealousy of the Padres right now. Not just because they're beating the Dodgers. They're in their heads. They've created an environment in their ballpark. Yeah. They have everything going that the Giants should right now.
They got Blink 182 leading sing-alongs.
That stadium is out of control.
Yeah.
It's like the World Cup in there.
And good for that town that's been desperate for something good since Stan Humphries.
Amen. 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 All right. 888-957-9570. We are about exactly 24 hours from a very, very, very large football game. Let's talk a little bit of Brock Purdy. Let's let you hear what he had to say as he addressed the media yesterday at the 49er facility. You know, we've been talking so much about him scrambling more, and maybe, in fact, he's even doing it a little bit too soon. He was asked the question. Here's what he said.
Yeah, I mean, I think it depends on the situation that we're in within the game and being smart with the ball, putting my team and my offense in the best situation possible. If I can make something happen with my legs and move the chains or get a positive gain, great, let's go. But at the same time, knowing that, you know, that's not going to be the case every time I'm scrambling around like it's backyard football. Like, I got to be smart, make a couple guys miss maybe, throw the ball away, being willing to play with third manageable rather than, you know, trying to make up for it after a 10-yard loss with a crazy scramble. So definitely depends on the situation, but also knowing that I have confidence and belief in my legs as well to make some plays in the right scenario. So find balance.
Yeah, I mean, find the balance. Again, Brock always seems to have like the answer that you want your leader to say, but find the balance, I guess, is true. I mean, he has shown, I think, each year the ability to be better at this than we thought he was going to be, but that can quickly become a crutch. And I do see that on a couple of plays. I like Brock scrambling. He's really good at it. I love him being able to create things with his legs, at least buy more time. But I do see a couple of plays where he's bailing into the runaround mode before he needs to.
Agreed. I'd like to see him climb the pocket and stay in there and, you know, get through his progressions a little bit more, because once you get out of the pocket and you get into runaround mode, then it's just a broken play, and receivers have to see that you're out of the pocket, break off their route, and then get into backyard football, running around waving your hand, I'm open, I'm open. And Brock has done well with breaking the pocket and running, seeing an opening and running. I've seen in this last game a little bit too much of breaking the pocket and trying to still make a play, throwing it, reversing field again, and still looking to throw it. The greatest play he made, I think it was on the second drive, when he ran it to the left and he stopped and he threw that little juke move and he got an extra three or four, then he tucked it. And I'd like to see more of that where he breaks the pocket and just looks to run right away.
Now, you know the Bay Area media is hardcore.
Tough.
They do
tough group.
Not, yeah, and they ask the tough questions, and if they don't like your first answer, they will press. They will press even harder. And that's what they did here, Dibs. They got one answer about him scrambling, and they said, hold on a second, we're not done. We're not done with this topic, Brock. You sit there and you answer this question. Now, you tell us why you're holding on to the ball longer this year than you have in the past.
I feel like there's just been some plays where I'm scrambling and stuff just because, like, what the defense is doing in terms of dropping eight and giving us some different looks in that regard. So for me, it's more been about keeping a play alive, and it's been good. And there's also been some plays, obviously, where, you know, we've had, you know, minus 10 or whatever from trying to scramble around and stuff. So I think those kinds of plays that pop up, so that maybe how that's affected the stats with that. But for me, I still go about my progressions and everything just like I have the last couple years with our offense and our system. You know, I'm not going into a game going, all right, I'm gonna hold on the ball longer here and try to make something happen. It's how can I be efficient, help out the O-line, get the ball out of my hands and do my job. But this, the teams that we've played, the schemes that we've played, I guess they've done some of that where they're dropping more back in the zone and making me go through my progression, and turns out I'm holding on to the ball.
I'll tell you what I see as the difference this year. I don't actually think it's about Brock. I think it's about Kyle. I really do. And I don't see it as a bad thing. I see it as a good thing. I know it hasn't led to too many wins yet this year, but what I see is for the first time in Kyle Shanahan's tenure as the head coach of the 49ers is a really deep and complete trust of the quarterback. That's what I see. You want to know why they're throwing the ball more? That's why. You want to know why they're calling plays that are further downfield? That's why. You want to know why Kyle's going for it on fourth down more? That's why. You want to know why Kyle isn't taking a knee when he's at his own 10-yard line with a minute and a half left to go? That's why. Like, he was accused of not trusting Jimmy back in the Super Bowl, the first Super Bowl against the Chiefs. He denied it. And those close to the organization did not buy the answer. They're like, no, and how could you? I mean, you can see with all of their behavior, again, don't listen to what they say, watch what they do. Their behavior suggests that they did not always go eye to eye with Jimmy. I think that's gone. I think Kyle has total faith that Brock Purdy is going to make a lot more good plays than bad.
Yeah, and I think it's shaded that way a little bit, and this is where a lot of fans were critical against Arizona because he came out, and Emmanuel Acho earlier today on one of those various talking head shows said, you know, he's trying to impress his dad with all these throws, and they did come out and they threw it a bunch in the first two drives, and nobody complained when they got down to the six-yard line in the second drive by throwing the football. And for the year, they've actually thrown it two times more than they've run it. And this from a team who the last few years has been right about 50-50. So the idea that they're throwing it a lot more is a little bit of mythology. They've thrown it 157 times. They've run it 155 times. And I know tucked in those runs are called plays that are passes that Brock Purdy eventually runs. And so the actual play calling breakdown is more pass heavy, but the result of the plays is almost a dead 50-50.
Well, I want to get to the Acho thing that you just referenced in a minute. Let's let everybody who's listening hear that as well. But a couple more from Purdy. Not surprising, I guess. He was asked about this defensive scheme tomorrow night as compared to the one with the Ravens on Christmas night last year, which was run by the same coordinator, Mike McDonald.
I'd say so. Scheme is pretty similar, and how they call the plays and stuff looks similar. Obviously, the personnel and everything is different, and so we just got to know which guys to look out for in certain situations. But, yeah, the scheme is very similar.
Very similar. And, you know, as we've already established, I think, to each his own as to whether or not that's scary. I'll say this. This is the only thing I'll compare it to. If I'm a 49er fan and I'm watching Brock Purdy and worried about the other team's defensive coordinator, I'd much rather watch him go against Mike McDonald than Brian Flores.
Yeah.
I'm much more confident about tomorrow night than I would be if they were playing the Vikings.
Well, and ultimately, it comes down to the players. I mean, the scheme is one thing. And if you want to look at last year in the Baltimore game, and Greg Cosell refuted this as a thing because the Niners went up and down the field and I couldn't even get my question out. But when you watch what Baltimore did, they brought their corners down, they pressured the 49ers, and they had three great linebackers in the middle of the field. And I look at a Seattle defense that doesn't have the same personnel that Baltimore had defensively to be able to do the same things that Mike McDonald wants to do to Brock Purdy. And also, to your point, Kyle Shanahan is now trusting Brock to throw the ball outside the hash mark, outside the numbers, and down the field more than he did last year.
Okay, you referenced Acho. For those who don't know, Emmanuel Acho, personality on FS1. They've got a show called The Facility. And here's a piece of what he said today. I want to know if you're buying this or not. Emmanuel Acho this morning.
The Niners are in trouble so long as Kyle Shanahan does not get out of his own way. In watching the game, it's like Kyle Shanahan is coaching as if his dad is in the stands and he wants to make his dad proud. He's hooping like his ex is in the crowd. And you know when you start dribbling the basketball all hard so you get an echo in a basketball on the hardwood?
That's me.
Kyle Shanahan's calling plays like he wants to show off America. The Cardinals allowed 216 rushing yards to the Commanders. Funny. And the week before, they allowed 187 rushing yards to the opponent. I believe it may have been the Detroit Lions. Get Kyle Shanahan. You start your game with one running play of your first nine plays. Your first three plays, you go three and out. Pass, pass, pass. Who are you showing off for? Who are you showing out for? The Cardinals have the fourth worst run defense in the NFL. You have a running back who has the most rushing yards through 5 weeks in franchise history. Yet you don't run the ball in the first nine plays but once? Who are you showing out for? The Niners are in trouble until Shanahan gets out of his own way. Because right now, Shanahan is in his own way. He is what's stopping this offense.
You buy it?
No, I don't buy it.
Why not?
Because what he fails to mention is, okay, they go three and out, although one of those was a Purdy scramble, but yeah, it was a pass play. Purdy scrambled, you punt, three and out. The next drive, he throws to Brandon Ayuk for 53 yards. So are we saying that that play is showing out for Daddy? Is that play a failure because we hit Brandon Ayuk on a great route and he goes for 53 yards? So are we going to be critical of the fact that he's throwing it a ton? Then he goes for Debo for 11 and now it's first and goal at the 6 and you give it to Mason who gets nothing? So I don't understand where we're being critical. So if they go 3 and out twice in a row and it's 6 passes and Brock Purdy's 0 for 6 and you punt twice, okay, you may have an argument there. You may have something to say, but you came out and you threw it 53 yards to Brandon Ayuk. Is that a bad thing? Is that him showing out for Daddy? I think it's a flimsy analysis by Acho. Flimsy analysis.
Well, I tend to agree with you from this perspective. One thing I very rarely hear, and part of this is this opportunity. We don't get to necessarily say things before the game happens, and I don't have everybody listening to our show sitting with us while we're watching the game, but it just feels like constant hindsight is 20/20. And all I hear about play calling is if the 49ers lose a game, then we go, whatever you didn't do, whatever you did a little less of, you were supposed to have done more of that. And I'm like, I would agree with you on some level if what you were doing wasn't working. But just because there was a tipped ball and Brock Purdy failed to get the ball out on time on a blitz at the end of the game does not mean by any stretch that the 49ers were not having success throwing the ball. Now, you can give the stat of, well, the Cardinals give up a lot of ground game. Okay, Greg Cosell, his response to that was, well, do you know that their corners can't cover either? Like, do we honestly really believe that Kyle Shanahan approaches a game and he's just like, so, I'm really not sure what I'm doing here, but pass? Like, do you know what I mean?
Totally.
Like, he's got an idea, and I like it when the Niners throw. I happen to think they've got a really good quarterback. And what a shame it would be if you just handed the ball off all day because you're scared. Like, that's what it feels like to me. Mistakes happen, and so then you go, oh, you should have run the ball. Except for, oh, by the way, on the ultimate drive at the end of the game, to put the thing away, up by 2, with first and goal at the 8, what'd they do? They ran the ball, and they fumbled. And they lost the football game. Now, Brock had another chance, and he threw a pick. Of course, you're going to throw by then. You got no timeouts and a minute to go. But y'all get what I'm saying. Like, I don't really have this pass, run, constant hindsight, hesitation thing that we feel the absolute need to do. It doesn't mean you're not allowed to question Kyle. It just feels like a broken record. And I'd much rather hear that going into the game, if that's your opinion.
Right.
Tell us tonight that the Niners should run the ball 70% of the time tomorrow.
Well, I'll tell you that tonight, because the 49ers should run the ball 70% of the time tomorrow.
Now I'll hear it. That's great.
If you want to look at the numbers for Seattle defensively, they're not very good against the run. And it's a short week, and Mason didn't have a heavy load, so I'm looking for a lot of Jordan Mason tomorrow. So if you're looking for your prize picks props for tomorrow, Jordan Mason over on rush yardage.
What's the number?
I'll check. It's probably about 75. I haven't done my prize picks yet. I've been a little cold of late, so I've been trying to stay away.
Hot. You're hot. You're super hot.
I'm only hot because you guys fade me.
You're on fire, fade the Debbers.
But I don't fade myself. Although,
apparently you're doing it wrong.
Hold on a minute.
It'd be amazing if you figured out how to do that.
Self-fade.
Anyway, we're sponsored by Safeway, and we see you, Burns and Barry and others, 888-957-9570. We'll take some more calls next on Willard and Dibs.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their 6 pools on 3 different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
To Willard and Dibs.
It's a great question.
Wow, that's a great question.
That's a great question.
That's a great question.
And that's a great question.
On 95.7 The Game.
Well, today was interesting.
It was something.
It was interesting. I hope that you're ready to make some changes in your life.
You couldn't even get that out without laughing. Yeah, I either have to start watching the game three times.
You're wasting so much time.
Or I just need to double down. I need to do more film study.
You have a young child at home. There's no need for you to waste 3 hours a week watching film that you, quite frankly, don't understand.
It's not quite 3 hours, but I appreciate that. My rhythm is Monday morning, 9 o'clock drop off at the preschool, Go back home, and pour over the tape.
And think what you could do with that time instead of wasting it by watching something that you can't even translate.
Actually, what's funny is I spend 2 hours rewatching it. I take copious notes, and that's worth a lot until Wednesdays at 3 o'clock when I get served.
Yeah.
When I go from a guy who seems like he knows a lot to just another one of you rubes who knows nothing.
I already talk about look-ahead lines. I already went into my phone and set an alarm for 3:12 next Wednesday afternoon.
Oh, God.
Because I'm so excited. We should rename the segment.
Dibs get served. Fade the dibber.
All of it.
Yeah.
It's all on the table.
It's all there.
Let's brainstorm.
Well, hopefully by next Wednesday, I will have had a chance to watch this game 17 times, so maybe I'll be a little bit more informed.
Co-sell your dibber stock.
Yeah,
how about
there you
that?
Go.
We could do it. Anyway, let's go to Burns in San Bruno on Willard and Dibs. Hi, Burns. What's up?
Not much, boys. How are y'all doing?
Excellent.
Better now, Burns.
Love it. Good to hear your voices. I have a joke. I don't know if this is a good joke, but... What does a father son trying to be like them?
Wait, I think we lost a piece of that. What does a father son?
Oh, no. What does a father son failing to be like him?
What does a father son failing to be like him?
Man. There's always next year, Kyle. Mid. Okay. Restart. Boys, Danny is...
what's funny about the joke, Burns, is that I don't think anybody got it.
No, he hasn't told the joke yet. Tell the joke now, Burns.
No, I think he tried.
Okay.
I think if you tell it for a third time, maybe that time will land.
Okay, Cheech and Chong. Is that the answer?
That
Cheech
was funny.
And Chong.
That's the funniest thing said.
Anyway.
Go ahead, Burns.
Take
to the finish line.
Take two. Here we go.
Tried. Okay.
All right.
So, Shanahan. Shanahan is the GOAT at...
At?
A bad thing.
At bad things?
At losing.
Oh, come on, Burns. You don't mean that. What are we doing?
Hear me out.
I will.
It's not a bad thing, though. Because I think that his losses are impressive from an objective standpoint. Like, the collapses, assignments, threes, whatever happens that causes the loss, for the most part, is compelling and then heart-wrenching for us as fans. Now, begs the question, why does he lose at these big moments? And I think that it's because of his lack of trust in players. Not to say that he doesn't trust them, but he trusts his own system and strategy far more individual players' effort. Mark, you were saying earlier for Purdy is so right?
Yeah, I think he trusts him.
I think
he trusts him more than he's trusted any other quarterback that we've watched him coach.
And I think this is where the Niners need to lose to evolve. They have to evolve away from the system and for the player. You know what I'm saying?
Well, so Burns, I think there's something there, but there are also questions. Like if the idea is that they need to evolve because of the system's failure, how do you account for the successful portions of it, which I would argue are much more than 50%, right?
I would say the successful portions of it are because of players he trusts.
Okay.
And that's CMC, that's Kittle, that's... And then on the defensive side, Bosa, Warner, right?
Well,
and
so,
I just feel like...
Yeah, go ahead. Okay, that's too big of a pause. Burns, thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Like, thank you very much. I think
no,
it's
I
a
like Burns.
I love Burns.
I like Burns. Burns has called before. No, but what I heard there is that the players get the credit for the wins and Kyle takes the blame for the losses. And I have a little bit of a hard time with that. Like, I think there's something there. In like I said at the beginning of the week, you have to at least be open to looking at why there have been some high-profile double-digit fourth-quarter losses. And as I described it or attempted to on Monday, it was, I think that there are times where the whole organization is a little too married to structure. And therefore, when things get chaotic, the Niners are a lesser version of themselves. They don't do great in that drill where it's like, you got to come from behind. Doesn't mean that they can't, because they have. But like, they don't come from behind really well.
Right.
Or
they're
when
not built that way.
Or when someone's coming at them, they are in some way prone to mistakes or whatever. That's what we've seen. So I think you have to take a look at it for sure and assess yourself. But I still get stuck whenever people try to define Kyle Shanahan or his Niners era by blown leads and losses. Because in my opinion, that's not what defines his time here. Because most of the games are really good.
Yeah.
He wins a lot of them.
He's 66-54 for his career, .550 winning percentage, which is good, not great. And it's really good if you look at the last 4 years
he's
37-19 in the regular year. And then an even better barometer for me is playoff games. And they've played in the second most playoff games since he took over in 2017. They're 8-4 in the playoffs. Only Kansas City's played in more playoff games since Kyle Shanahan got the gig. So regular season, rough start to the career, remade the franchise, improved the roster. Now the fourth quarter blown leads, he now has 20 of them, including two this year that were double-digit fourth quarter blown leads. For me, it's about... Partly it's about scheme, but it's really about the players. And if you want to scapegoat the players who are responsible for these blown leads, you've got Jordan Mason, Devondre Campbell, Jake Moody, You got Isaac Yiadom,
sure.
Charvarius Moody Ward against the Rams. I mean, you can look at individuals, and a lot of them are inexperienced players who many of them wouldn't normally be starting.
I mean, I think something that you said in there is a fair response, at least to debate when people are like, man, he always fails in the end. Well, like, he's never gone to the playoffs and then just got knocked out in the first round. Like, they win the first round or two every time.
They've never played fewer than three playoff games in a postseason.
So in round one and two, he's never lost with the 49ers.
Right.
Those are also very big games. I get that those are, in theory, against a little bit lesser opponents, but good opponents.
Playoff opponents.
Playoff teams, yep. Right? But, man, there's got to be something to that. You can't call the guy a loser when he's 8-4 in the playoffs.
For me, you can't give the players credit and then the coach blame,
yes,
or
agreed.
Vice versa. It's the players and the coach, and then it's the players and the coach when they lose. So for me, yeah, 66-54, it's a good record, and it's only getting better, and you hope it gets better soon, like starting tomorrow.
They'll also start 0-10.
It yeah,
started 0-10.
Yep.
Yeah. So, I mean, like, again, I get that the record doesn't sound that sparkly, but I think it does when you realize what happened once he started getting some of his players in.
Agreed.
It got really, really good. Telmo would like to respond to Burns. Hello, Telmo. Hi.
What's up, fellas? How you doing?
Well, good.
First of all, I just would love to say how much I enjoyed you guys' conversation with one Mr. Greg Cosell. Because he the way he breaks it down and just strips the emotion out of it is great. And I think as fans, we can all learn a little something from that situation. And if you guys were referencing earlier, if there was one person that I wish was listening to him, it would be one Daryl the Guru Johnson. Because if you're a process guy and the Dibbers is a results guy, Guru's the emotions guy. And from one week to another, the swings are so dramatic. It's from missing the playoffs to winning the Super Bowl and everything in between. But so I would like a weekly segment with Mr. Cosell called Check Yourself Before You Wreck Yourself, in which he just gives us the reality of the situation.
Telmo, we got to run, but that's really good fun. I actually have a better idea. Let's just let Guru interview Greg next week.
No doubt. Greg, I'm nervous.
Fireworks.
Totally.
I can't see it. We're warriors.
That's on me.
Oh, it's the best.
The absolute, I don't know.
So, Grandy, what are you doing? What are you doing next?
We will hear Ron Rivera first,
Riverboat?
And then
you
got to stay tuned and find out if we're going to run
boy.
Back.
Don't do me like that.
Yeah, just,
come
okay.
on, Grandy.
I can see Grandy's eyes. Folks, listen around 6:20, 6:30.
Come on, Grandy.
Dibs gets undressed.
We'll see.
By NFL Films. Or not. If not, you can go to YouTube or Twitch and still find it there. Do you want to do it again tomorrow if we promise that Greg Cosell won't be here?
Yeah, I guess so. It's game day, baby.
Yeah, we're going to take you right up to the game.
Yep.
We're
going
to take you right up to the game. So it's going to get hot. It's going to be phenomenal for Dibs, for Grandy, and for Cheech and Chong. I'm Mark. Oh, wait. All of that is brought to you by Fremont Bank, celebrating 60 years of full-service banking with no compromises. Now you can shoot your shot. It's all you got.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.